Hey everyone, welcome to what I like to think of as the Quadcast. Never before in the history of this show.
The thousands of episodes we've done?
Yeah. I guess I should start by saying this is episode 162 of the podcast, better known as the Quadcast. So let's start by introducing the players tonight. The ever-present, the man who's been here from episode one, continues to be the rock upon which we build the castle, that is the Shotcast. Mr. John Dolan.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yep.
Back.
Well done.
You can have the Shotcast when you pry it off my cold, dead dick.
Really? All right.
I'm fucking this thing hard tonight.
Yeah. That's how you come across. I think you left out the word up.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's right.
So, also, the newest member of the Shotcast, I hesitate to say maybe one of the more obsessive gamers I know personally, and that man, of course, Mr. Justin McFerrin.
I exist.
Well done. And finally...
Short but sweet.
Yeah. I like a simple pronouncement of existence. I think
still,
that more people should do
about
that.
My dick, so.
Yeah. Which also exists.
It does. I mean, you really got to look, but it's there.
Right. Well, curse of the ginger. What are you going to do? And then finally, back from his hiatus in the Himalayas, where one Tammy after another was used and disposed of, left frozen in the ice, much like the journeymen who climb the highest of peaks. One David J. Anders, welcome back, sir.
How'd it go?
Sexcapades.
Yes.
I mean, it was a hiatus at one point, but it turned into sexcapades.
Hey, man, you gotta pay off them Sherpas somehow.
had you created some sort of real doll barter system with the locals?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, I don't know who the true winner is in that scenario, but
anybody who gets a hand job at 22,000 feet, that's a winner.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. We haven't recorded in a little bit. Mostly that's my fault. I am recently returned from Los Angeles, a city in which small dogs are baked cupcakes for their meals. That is one of the more ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life, and yet out there, nobody seems to think it's all that strange.
California's a weird place.
Yeah. And
especially Southern California.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many people that I encountered that I thought, you know, you are in the right place. You could not exist outside of Los Angeles. You would be chewed up and spit out by most citizens of this country.
You and your little dog are soft.
Yeah, there was an old line I heard that I think is very true, more so now that I've been to both of these locations, but someone once said, you shouldn't stay in New York so long that it makes you hard, and you shouldn't stay in Los Angeles so long that it makes you soft. Hmm. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. It was an odd experience to go to Los Angeles and see the citizenry of that town behave in just some of the most ridiculous ways. Also, I would point out that there are rules of the road in Los Angeles that don't exist other places. For example, a red light means now you can turn.
Yeah,
that was a learning experience. I'll tell one quick story and I'll shut up about Los Angeles and we'll talk about video games. But the day I arrived, I flew United. First mistake.
Let's roll.
Yeah. So, flew United.
Oh, man. It's too soon.
Arrive in Los Angeles to find that my rental car has been changed to a car that I didn't really want. Then
was it a PT Cruiser?
No. It was just an old
Nissan.
Then it could
have been worse.
Oh, well, sure. A PT Cruiser. A PT Cruiser is like the sea turtle of dogs, like cars. You feel like if you flipped it over on its back, it would just squirm there for a while.
Never.
Yeah.
Baked in the sun to death.
Yeah, just the worst. My luggage is lost.
Ugh, Christ.
Yeah. The good lady behind the counter approached that scenario as if I were bringing her a problem that she did not deserve. I finally get to the place I'm staying. Did a little Airbnb action while I was out there. Wanted place of my own, and it was real close.
Yeah, you mentioned that like you were going to do that. Did that work out?
No. Not at all. It didn't occur to me to ask if it had air conditioning, because I figure all civilizations now have that.
Most first world countries.
Yeah. So I arrive at this place. Oh, and to get there, I'm driving in rush hour traffic because I was late for my original flight, so I got there later than I expected. Driving the rental car in rush hour traffic in Los Angeles to get to the place that I'm going on Fairfax, and my cell phone is dying. I don't have a USB port in the car, so I can't charge it. So I'm getting directions off of Waze to this location. If the phone dies, I'm just lost. Like, you would never hear from me again. I would be just another story of Los Angeles. You know, Bo went out there, got lost, and we've never seen or heard from him again.
His phone head's chopped off by the Zetas.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's just done. So I get to the place that I'm renting. The phone dies literally as I'm climbing the steps to the place. And open the door, and I'm immediately in, I would say, you know, conservatively, it was 380 degrees in there.
Not hot enough to burn paper.
No.
But hot. No.
But it was very, very hot, at which point, and this is probably about like 5:30, something like that, LA time. So I immediately send a message over to the guy that I'm, you know, renting the Airbnb place from. And I say, hey, man, this is going to sound like a stupid question, I would assume, but I can't find the air conditioner. And he says, oh, yeah, we don't have one in that unit. And I was like, really? Because you know it's 380 degrees in here, right? And he was like, yeah. If you stay out of there between like 4 and 7, it cools down enough in the evenings that it's going to be fine. And I was like, well, all right.
You might want to put that in the fucking ad.
Right. Like a big bold letters.
Yeah. During day.
by the way, this is not fit for man nor beast between the hours of.
We use it to slow cook meat while you're out.
That explains the brisket, but just built to the rafters with smoked meat. That was my first day in Los Angeles. Did not make a great impression. You know, it certainly improved after that, and you know, I had a good time overall. But again, great place to visit. Would never ever want to live there, and has nothing to do with the heat. It has everything to do with the amount of jackasses that roam the streets all willy nilly like. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like LA in August.
Yeah, it's, you know, I guess I had assumed so many stereotypes about Los Angeles, and then getting there and having them all reinforced was not what I was anticipating. I was hoping to be like, oh no, this is actually a place filled with reasonable people. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Just not a bunch of jackasses.
So, because I know you're maybe not the type of guy who would do this on your own, I'm going to go ahead and plug something. I'd just like to say that
gross.
I have a Blu-ray copy of Lost After Dark on its way to my house right now.
Oh, thanks very much.
And for those who don't know, that is Bo's horror movie that he wrote.
Yeah. It is available in digital form on iTunes, Amazon, Xbox, PlayStation, and Vudu.
Probably which is how others. I got it.
And then, Best Buy, Amazon, if you want a physical copy. I want to say Target and Walmart.
I want to rub it on my nipples. Like, you know, I don't want to have to rub my nipples on my TV because then I got to get out the Windex and all that shit. So physical copy.
In fairness, you know, the movie's been reasonably well reviewed so far. You know, with everything, it's hit and miss. There are some people who really like it and some people who really don't. But
I've read quite a few reviews of it online, and I actually read one that, like, the rating that it got was not all that favorable. But what the article was saying about it was, like, a nice review. It's just like the guy kind of at the end of it just kind of didn't give it as many stars as you thought what he wrote said. It was kind of weird. I'm like, yeah, this guy seems to really like this. This is a great review. And then I got to the end and I was like,
You just give me a name.
It's also currently available on thepiratebay.org.
Absolutely. Yeah, unfortunately, we are not as available in digital and physical formats in other locations, namely like Europe and Asia. And as a result, people are pirating the shit out of it. So that's good news.
I mean, you're not going to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And B, it gets it out there. So, you know.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's not the way you would like to see it distributed because, you know, who doesn't like money?
Well, and more importantly, we would kind of like to make another movie. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
that costs money.
It does cost money, and every time the movie is pirated and not purchased, that is kind of a tick against us being able to do another film.
Yeah.
So, you know, but like you said, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
They hired the movie company, the production company, hired a company to keep it offline. And I was like, that is the stupidest expenditure of money that you can possibly make.
That's one of the articles I read. I typed in Lost After Dark, and one of the things that popped up in Google was an article about the rights company that was doing that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure that they have stopped, I don't know, upwards of a dozen illegal downloads, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
So, but yeah, thanks for mentioning it, and yeah, if you like, you know, slasher movies and 80s throwback films, and Robert Patrick as a somewhat unbalanced Vietnam veteran, if you like any combination of those things, then check it out, you might enjoy it.
All of those things are in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. I have not seen it yet. I know some of the Nashvillians have seen previews and whatnot, but I will be a virgin territory for your slasher film, so I can't wait.
Excellent. I will say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and barrel through the what I played because it hasn't been that much with all the movie business, all the Hollywood Bowl activity that's been going on. I haven't had a whole lot of time.
When you were out there, did you refer to yourself as Hollywood Bo? Hi, Hollywood Bo.
Almost exclusively, yeah. And I wore sunglasses 24/7.
That's right. Inside, dark, at night, roasting in the B&B.
That's how Hollywood Bo rolls.
That's right. Yeah. Hollywood Bo
doesn't
have eyes. Sweaty
as shit is how we roll.
Hollywood Bo uses his third eye.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Another quick detour real quick. I gotta mention this. So within 10 minutes of being picked up by the director of Lost After Dark, we were in a medical marijuana dispensary.
Yeah, nice.
You would think.
California.
Yeah. That is some shady shit, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't, like, for some reason, because it's medical marijuana and you have to have a card, you know, I didn't think you had to, you know, get a prescription or anything. I'm not that naive.
Yeah.
But walking in that place, it just, like, landed full on me that, oh, this is populated by people who love to get stoned all the time.
Yeah.
And
well, duh.
Yeah, I know. But I wasn't prepared for the level of burnout that was, you know,
popular with the kids.
Yeah. Turns out marijuana popular with kids. Strange. So I mean it was still kind of weird to see like joints in a vending machine. That's pretty fun. But I also happen to spy with my little eye as I'm wandering around and not, you know, making eye contact with others. Because turns out in Los Angeles, you make eye contact and smile at someone, that's a sign of aggression. You're going to have a fight.
Yeah, that's true.
But I get a little peek in the back room of the dispensary. And there is a guy, hand of God, dumping rubber banded piles of cash out of a paper bag. And when you see that, you are seeing some shady shit.
Yeah.
That is how that works.
Yeah. Somewhere on that premises, there's a very large, like, dynamite-proof safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And more than one gun, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And more money than you have ever laid eyes on in your entire life. And it's generating tax revenue, so continue.
Yeah, yeah. I wish it were just a little bit cleaner and more on the up-and-up sort of operation. Cause
so
it...
I believe in a lot of states where there's a medical legalized, and certainly ones where it's been decriminalized, that you are just allowed to grow plants on your own. Like, there's, you can have two plants in your house or something like that. So
yeah, I think so.
That's a way to clean it up. Just say, yeah, just grow the shit yourself.
Right, right. And that at that point, it's more of a hobby and requires activity.
Yeah, and stoners are not known for that.
Yeah, ambition, not the thing you most associate with people who smoke a lot of pot. Yeah.
You would be surprised.
Well, all right, ambition, but follow through, I think, is maybe where we fall down.
100% follow through.
Stoners have great ideas.
Yeah, a lot of good ideas.
Big picture stuff.
So
some of
yeah.
them follow through really good. We got to give credit where credit's due. Like, you know, let's say, let me just pull a random one out. Pink Floyd.
Yes.
Really yep. good at follow through when they smoke weed.
Yeah.
The Beatles.
Also, anytime there's a makeshift bong involved, always 100% follow through.
Yeah.
Well, those are your MacGyver smokers, though. I mean, they always follow through. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one good thing about stoners is that if you're around one long enough, you are going to see a bong created from something unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
My that dad left all these cinder blocks.
I don't need these shoes anymore. Let's smoke.
Getting to what we played, my list is quite short, but it is somewhat horror related, so I'll toss in here. I played the very early goings, basically the first chapter of Until Dawn, the PS4 exclusive, kind of a choose your own adventure or horror game.
I've heard it's compared to Hard Rain, but your choices mean something.
You know, I can't speak to that yet because I'm just so early on. In fact, I played it before the show tonight just so I would have something to talk about other than Cook Serve Delicious, which I played on the airplane. I will say this about Until Dawn. I think it strikes a really good atmosphere. I don't know how meaningful the choices are, although they feel like they're going to be meaningful. The acting, I think, is quite good. The character animations, I think, are quite good. And I got to shoot a squirrel in the face.
Nice.
Yes. So I think all of those are positives.
Could you shoot squirrels in Red Dead Redemption?
There's squirrels in that.
Are there squirrels?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I
can't think of another game where you can shoot a squirrel. That would be probably my best guess.
Well, you can sure shoot the shit out of a squirrel in Until Dawn, and you get a close-up of it, too.
Good to know.
Are you, like, a messed-up child in his young age who just decides he's going to, like, murder a squirrel one day?
No. It's in the context of the game. So you're playing as a bunch of, young adult people who are at a lodge. A no longer operational lodge. Like, I think it's a privately owned one. I assume you will eventually be stalked by a killer. In the sort of a prologue to it, you see some murder there. The first chapter doesn't seem to have any of that, or if it did, I chose differently so that I never saw any.
Hmm.
But you play as different characters. Like, the perspective shifts to different characters, and it'll tell you, like, you know, now you're playing as Mike, and this guy is, you know, lighthearted and intellectual or whatever.
Isn't there, I saw some video where there was something along the lines of you, like, it asks you questions before you start a chapter, like, what bothers you more, needles or suffocating?
Yes. Which
shit like that. And then, like, kind of customizes it to your particular triggers, which I think is pretty clever.
Yeah, like, according to my choices, the second chapter should contain clowns and spiders.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
A spider clown.
That would be the most horrifying thing I could imagine.
Clowns, like, normal-sized spiders that are clowns.
Or a giant spider wearing a clown mask. Either way.
That's not as scary to me. Little thousands of little clowns. That's way worse.
Coming at you to circus music.
Yeah.
It's it was terrifying in theory. So I'm looking forward to getting back in that game. It, you know, you can make the argument that it's not heavy on gameplay necessarily. But I think for the kind of story they're telling, that's okay. There's a handful of quick time events and, you know, you kind of wander around the environment and you'll see a little glint of something that will give you, either clues to maybe the backstory of the killer or, a different, like as you're making choices, you will actually see, these totem icons appear. And some of those will indicate, hey, you've made a decision that's going to bring this character closer to death, or you've made a decision that's going to bring the character closer to survival.
Is that kind of like Telltale style? Like, so-and-so will remember that you put a bullet in his son's head.
Yeah, it's a little more subtle than that, I think. And based on what I've seen, I think they handle those options a little bit differently so that... It's not quite, even though you're making binary choices, and the game actually tells you at one point, like, hey, sometimes just doing nothing is the right decision.
Hmm.
So you're basically choosing between two options or nothing at all. Hmm. But the decisions you're making seem to dramatically change how the story plays out. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm curious to do at least a couple of playthroughs of it. And I can see where that would be fairly easy to do. I don't know what the length of the game is just for a single playthrough. But it'll be interesting, man. I'm curious to give it a more than its fair shake because it's a game I think would be really fun to play with someone kind of watching as well. And, you know, helping make decisions and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
It's got. I've heard about it just because it was getting like decent review buzz. Like it's on Metacritic. It's got a 79 critic score and an 8.0 user score. And usually when they're close like that, it means it's a pretty solid opinion. So, you know, 8 out of 10 sounds like pretty goddamn good game.
Yeah, I mean that's my early impressions of it. It's got a real cool visual style to it. There's a couple of jump scares that actually work pretty well.
Nice.
I'll report back as things go on. The first, you know, 30-45 minutes I played has been recorded, and I'll post that up at some point as well. So it's a good game. The only other thing that I will mention playing. Is a guy that I work with started playing Diablo 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, shit happens and you end up playing a bunch of Diablo 3.
The game that keeps on giving.
It's, oh man, and so, I just, when I got back today, I turned on the PS4 and it tells me, like, hey, there's a Diablo 3 update. And I was like, God bless you guys.
Yep, I mean, probably like one of the best supported games, I think, of games that... You could just let it lie. Like, you could just release that game and just, whatever. But, I mean, the PC version, then the console versions, then the updated console versions, and then they keep adding new shit to it, and they, like, the failed experiment of the auction house went away. Like, they're just, that's how you do a fucking game. I mean, Blizzard's got it down, man. They know what they're doing. I really like, I think I sent you the article, Bo, where, when they kind of switched up how the treasure goblins work, they added like multiple, like different treasure goblins who will drop different loot. And this is maybe, I don't know, it was months ago that they made this change. But I just recently read that one of the things that can happen randomly is when a treasure goblin appears and you're chasing him around, if he opens a portal and you kill him while the portal is open, sometimes the portal stays open after he dies and you can jump in his fucking portal and you're in like gnome treasure land. Like you're in his lair where he takes all the fucking shit that he steals. And it's just like Loot City.
I want to go to there.
I know. So what makes that really a frustrating statement for me is you know, treasure gnomes are kind of few and far between. They don't show up all the time. You got to play a lot of Diablo. I mean, every playthrough you usually see at least one. If you're doing a long one, like I've had four or five in one sitting sometimes, and that was, you know, like a fiesta of gold. But man, it just makes you want to keep doing that so you can get into gnome lair.
Yeah, fortunately they pop off in adventure mode as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, but that kind of shit is cool. It's like, here's a really cool, like, if you play enough, you will see this. This will happen in your game. Like, they've got it, you know, tuned, so. And, all right, I got to play more Diablo 3 to see this cool thing. That sounds
right. I'm on my path to platinum with that game. Nice. And I actually just recently picked up a trophy that I was having a hard time with, actually, which was getting the trophy for 50 objects broken, or getting a call out for 50 objects broken.
You gotta find a fucking room that's got 50 objects in it.
Yeah, so I got that, and everything else now is just me finishing hardcore mode and running a couple of other characters up to 70.
Man, hardcore mode is rough.
I'm working my way through it. I'm still on that.
I always fucking die, like in the second or third chapter. I think I made it to the beginning of the third chapter and got killed. Was the farthest I've ever gotten.
All right. Well, you know, some of us are failures. Some of us have platinum trophies.
Some of us don't have any patience when we're playing Diablo.
That's the thing. You can't go chasing treasure goblins and shit when you're playing hardcore. You gotta be restrained. It's like, I'm not here for the ancillary stuff. I need to kill a bunch of shits so that I can get to the boss and kill that and make sure that I'm constantly upgrading the blacksmith, getting the best equipment I can. I mean, it's...
Everything about Diablo trains me to not be restrained. That's the problem.
Right, but that's where hardcore mode comes in, is like, mm-hmm. you know all that shit you learned, throw it out the window, now you've got to be careful. And I like that, because so much of that game is just rolling through as, you know, like Sherman's march to the sea, where you just devastate everything.
Game's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing. We'll get that out of the way, and now let me spin the old wheel o' games and see who is next. And it is, I'll be damned, Justin McFerrin. What have you been playing?
I picked up Rocket League, and Dolan and I played that one night.
We did.
And then I watched a bunch of GIFs on Reddit, and now I never want to play it again. Because I'm horrible at it. There are people that are way too good at it.
I was playing on PS4 and Justin was playing on PC, and that worked pretty good. We just we had to use Skype to talk. Was the only snag in that whole thing.
It was super easy to get into a game with each other. That's one hell of a little game. You know, that thing's only going to get better. And it's going to get huge. It's going to be such a huge esports game. Like, people are going to win a lot of money off that game, I think, in the long run from tournaments.
Did you see, I think it was on Reddit today, there was a GIF of somebody who is driving up the wall on their end of the field. They jump off the wall, make contact with the ball in the air, like really high up in the air, and then start hitting their rockets and dribble the ball in the air all the way down the field and score a goal.
That was the moment I decided to never play.
That's
like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's like, ridiculous. I'll never do that.
Can't hit the ball in the air once.
Yeah. a friend gifted me a game called Rockets, Rockets, Rockets. And think of the old like Moonlander game, like the physics of that game, but if there are four players and you're trying to shoot missiles at each other, and set to this sort of like electronic soundtrack in a almost Pac-Man, a level that's laid out kind of like Pac-Man, and like the further you get away from each other, it sort of changes the soundtrack, puts filters on it. Until if you're far enough away, the music just turns off and you're just sort of like flying around this little level, and then you come back together and the music gets louder and louder and the bass kind of gets kicked up.
Is it like a side, like a scrolling side to side?
It's like a top down.
Okay.
It is 4-player local co-op, but there's a new version coming out tonight or tomorrow. I don't know if they're adding multiplayer, but they keep saying they're going to add regular multiplayer. It is so much fun. And I think I've only put 3 or 4 hours into it, but I mean, it's a really basic game. Anybody can pick up. I mean, it's 3 buttons and a analog stick and 5 minutes and you know how to play the game.
It's got kind of a vector look to it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. And as soon as there's regular online multiplayer and it goes on sale, if it goes on sale, we need to like go in on a pack and check
that out. It's on my wish list.
It should be.
Looks good.
Now for the big finale.
Really? Are we just doing 2?
No, this is...
It's Rocket League, Rocket, Rockets, Rockets, and I assume that the next one is going to be Rockets Forever?
It's,
Rockets Part 2.
Little game called Metal Gear Solid, The Phantom Pain.
Not familiar.
Hadn't been waiting for that one. I've got 7 hours into it already. And it might be one of the best games I've ever played.
After 7 hours, really?
Yeah, it is. There's just so much stuff to do. There is every day that after it's come out, people have learned some crazy thing, little small details. Like it asks you what your birthday is, or to give your character a birthday at the beginning, and then. If it is your birthday, you get this whole long like cutscene when you go back to your base where they like give you a cake and it's just ridiculous Kojima stuff like that he would put in a game that sort of like breaks the fourth wall, that kind of barrier.
So I have to step in because that shit was nuts.
Yeah.
The whole I've played this as well. I have a similar amount of time into it, about 7 hours. And I'm on board with it. Maybe not the greatest game, but like one of the greatest, like certainly of whatever genre you can kind of fit this game into. It's a really fucking good one of those. It's like, it's a stealth game that doesn't punish you when you fuck up. Like, what's an example? Like Hitman. When you fuck up in Hitman, like
you're dead.
Yeah. Fuck Christ. Like there's no just fuck it. I fucked it up. I didn't do the exact right thing. I got to replay the level because I want to do this right. And in Phantom Pain, like you can be cruising down the road on your horse and you run around the corner and you think you're going to some military installation to kidnap some guy. And you're just galloping along on your horse and there's a small outpost in the middle of the road that you didn't know was there because you weren't looking at your map or whatever. And all the guys freak out and start shooting at you immediately. And you can, at that point, in other stealth games, you're like, fuck, and just go to my last save. I'll just start over. But you can hide and you can, take actions that will not necessarily like bring their threat level down and reset them entirely. But you have options at that point. And like a lot of these stealth kind of games, you have no options whatsoever. So I think that's really cool and... like it works really well, but sorry. So the beginning part you're talking about with the birthday.
Yeah.
What were your feelings on the character creation?
Yeah, that was kind of weird that it has you make a character, and then I don't want to spoil anything, but I don't know how this avatar comes into play unless it's part of the online thing. But basically, you create an avatar of your character, and then it sort of just gets thrown out the window.
But
and,
it's under. I don't want to spoil things either, but I think we kind of need to talk about the reason you're creating an avatar. So you're playing as Big Boss Snake, and if you play Ground Zeroes, you get fucked up at the end of that, and the beginning of Phantom Pain, you are in a coma, like you've just come out of a coma, and. There's people that are actively trying to kill you because you're Big Boss. And so the beginning of the game, like this really nice, like full featured face creation tool pops up under the guise that you need to have plastic surgery to alter your appearance because people are coming to fucking kill you. And then right before you're going to get the surgery, the guy who's going to do it gets strangled in front of you.
Yeah. The guy like holds a mirror up to you and is like, this is what you look like now. And then boom, like straight out of Hitman, like fiber wire, gets strangled to death, and the mirror falls to the ground.
So if you're like me, and you like to make your character look cool, you just spent 25, 30 minutes making this great character in this editor that apparently is not going to get used. So
that is like, high-level Kojima trolling right
so
there.
At first I was like, well, this has got to come into play later for something. But then, so you're in this hospital. So the guy gets killed in front of you. And then the whole intro to the game is you, like, it's
a series of escalating moments of what the fuck is going on.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah, it's like.
And it's not like you've seen gameplay videos of you're in Afghanistan sneaking around doing stealth. The whole, it's maybe like a half an hour long intro has none of that shit in it. It's like an entirely separate game that's very Metal Gear-ish with just weird shit going on. But so I didn't, I'm still like, okay, this is a tutorial and it's teaching you how to do certain parts of the game and it's really fucked up and there's all kinds of weird shit happening. But that I cannot get that character creation thing out of my head as I was playing it. Like, why did they do that? Like, I don't get it. Like, that seems like a lot of effort, and I'm kind of like, what is up with this game? This is really kind of stupid. And then you get to the part where you're trying to avoid all these soldiers that have infiltrated this hospital, and you get to the scene, Justin, where you're in the hallway, and all the other people are in the hallway with you, and you get, like, bottlenecked in from both sides, and you know that they're going to just, like, gun down the entire hallway. There's, like, maybe 20 people in the hallway with you, right? And
yeah, they've killed everyone else that you've
You've like witnessed them like shooting patients in their bed. It's just like a fucking horror show and you're trying to escape and not get murdered by these guys. And you end up in this hallway with a whole bunch of people and you're trapped. And from both sides, like machine guns start firing. And it's at that moment that so you're being escorted out of the hospital by this guy. And I won't get into that whole story because that was a fucked up mess. But at that moment, you're behind this guy in a crowd of hospital patients who are mostly wearing hospital gowns, and there's some doctors and nurses wearing like scrubs and things. But I don't know if it was just my game that did this, but did it pan down and look at the guy's ass through his
Yes. That's how you know it's him. Because he's like the only one in a gown that you can see his butt cheeks hanging out of.
But like my read on that was when I started to think that the character creation thing was funny because you're about to get murdered, and it seemed to me like this is the point where, like, have you ever been a part of a group project where there's some like a fun aspect to it, and you like throw in some crazy ideas just because they're like funny to you, and maybe nobody else will get it, but it seemed like in that scene, like they're putting that together for the game, and like Kojima or somebody on the team goes, hey, you know what would be really funny, like right before you're about to get murdered, is if you like stared at the guy's ass in front of you. And so that's in the game because like they thought it would be funny. And then another thing that did that was when you get introduced to what's the guy's name? Ocelot shows up and he takes his fucking son. Like the game, like, every time there's credits everywhere for the programmers.
You know it's a Hideo Kojima game.
His name's in it like six times in the first 30 seconds. Hideo Kojima. And then it's like presented episodically. And at the beginning and at the end of every episode, it shows you all the characters' names. But it's not like the actors that played them. It says like Venom Snake and Ocelot, and it's like their in-game character names are the credits. But then there's the spot where the dude takes his sunglasses off and his sunglasses get a credit. And it apparently these are like real sunglasses that you can buy, and I'm like, he pulls them off and it says, you know, TJX sunglasses from such and such. And I'm like, is there just like going to be rampant product placement in this game? And then I'm like, immediately occurs to me, wait a minute. I just did a character creation for no reason. I like looked at a guy's ass right before I got murdered. And now sunglasses are getting like title credits in a game. It's just like full of those kind of like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if like we made the sunglasses like a character? Like it's got that vibe to it. Like it's really weird and funny. So I've started. Go ahead.
you can buy Ocelot's sunglasses right now for $272.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, this game is so weird. It's weird.
That doesn't sound like the Metal Gear I know.
No. It's just weird. Like, I don't know.
But then, you get to, like, this beautiful open world, awesome artificial intelligence for the guards and shit in the game, like stealth crazy thing with just more fucking upgrade options than I think I've ever seen in a game. I mean, this thing's massive. Like, it's going to take 80 hours to play this game. I don't know.
Well, I'm sinking probably more than that into it. And
just to like get through the story and do some side missions, I'm thinking this is, you know, 60, 80 hours. To like 100% this, you're talking like hundreds of hours.
You're getting your money's worth when you buy this game.
It's unbelievable.
And it makes me, you can upload your Ground Zero save into it, and you get, like, anyone you save in Ground Zeroes will become a part of your army. So now I'm going to go back and play that.
How do you make guys part of your army, Justin?
You Fulton them.
You hook a giant balloon to them, and they float up in the air, and they get hauled back to your secret base that's in the middle of the ocean, and their
stats.
They get brainwashed, and then their stats, like if they're good at research, they get assigned to your research and development team so that you can now upgrade your cardboard box to cardboard box version 2, or you can research grenades, or I read somewhere that there is a submachine gun that fires rubber bullets. So you can still have a machine gun, but you can play non-lethal, which I think is fucking brilliant.
At some point, you can research a water gun.
Yeah. I mean, the game is crazy.
What would the water gun bring to the table in this scenario?
Like distraction, maybe? I don't know.
There may or may not be a character in the game whose weakness is water.
Oh, nice. I don't want it to just sound like this game is really weird and fucked up, and like if you're not into that, you won't like it, because it's a really, really good game. Like, it's a game-ass game. There's some serious fucking game going on in this game.
Like, once you get into the open world, it is, if you like, Metal Gear Solid is a cover shooter, but it's a stealth game. There's so much, like, tactic. It forces you to, you know, perch yourself above whatever your objective is and plan out what you're going to do. You can
tag guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Plan your attack. Take out. You can non-lethally take down a guy, put him in a chokehold, and then interrogate him. And sometimes he'll tell you where other guards are in the base, or he'll tell you some other piece of information. Or you can stun gun guys, go up, stick a Fulton balloon on them, and send them back to your base so that they upgrade your abilities. Or you can just murder everybody. Or apparently you can make your horse shit on the road and it acts like a banana peel and makes like cars spin out.
That's ridiculous.
It doesn't stop. It's like if you start going down the rabbit hole of this game, and you can do this. Oh, and this thing does something completely different. And I can't even possibly imagine how frustrating it must be to program something like this. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's why Kojima spent, you know, $400 million making Metal Gear Phantom Pain.
And it shows. Like, it's unbelievable. It's so dense with stuff that it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Justin, did you play anything else?
That is it. I skipped last weekend's squad, but that is still going very, very well. They shut off a bunch of cool stuff at PAX East this past weekend. That's the only other plug I'll put in there. So that game is coming along very well. Every week they're adding tons of new features and new art, new weapons. It's shaping up to be a really awesome game.
Okay, we are now officially done with you.
I want to ask Justin one more question about Metal Gear.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you guys. All right, let's do it.
Just because I'm curious how mechanically how it works for you. When you go to the base where you have to get Miller out, I just kind of basically like took my time and snuck in there and got him and ran out the other side of the city. But while I was there, there's like a truck driving around on the map. And when it pulled up at one point, everybody went on like high alert, and I hadn't been seen, and I didn't know why, but it made it like that much harder all of a sudden. And I was wondering if that happened when you played it.
I remember the truck showing up and two guys getting out and kind of walking around, smoking some cigarettes, but not like a high alert type of thing.
Like everybody like went into pairs and started doing like these active kind of jogging patrols around the base. And I had no idea why I triggered it. I was wondering if like they found a dead body or something, or that's weird. Okay. Interesting. So like you had a totally different experience.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay. Cool game.
All right. Let's hit the old wheel of video games again. That's what it sounds like. And I'll be damned, our prodigal son returning, David Anders.
Oh, God.
What in the hell have you been
oh,
playing?
Oh, Jesus. All right, this is a long list, and I'll talk about the good stuff and pass over the moderately okay stuff. I played Chroma Squad, which is okay. Halo 4, which is actually kind of good. The Trial of for Destiny, I got up to about level 7 where it tells you to buy the goddamn game at that point. That's a pretty fun game. I'm going to get the Taken King when it comes out because it's got all the expansions.
The shooting in that is really tight. Like, I played the demo for that too.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
The world seems kind of empty, but yeah, the shooting mechanic in that works fucking great. And it looks really
pretty.
Oh,
yeah. It looks super nice. And, you know, for $50 and, you know, you get all the expansions with the new Taken King version. So figured I'd go with that. Assassin's Creed 4, because it was free. And that's okay.
That's Black Flag, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The pirate stuff in that's solid.
Yeah. So Many Me, which is a cute little platformer that was free on Xbox One a little while ago. Rise, Son of Rome, which is a launch title if I've ever seen one. Holy shit.
Explain, please.
It has horrible load times, and it's very pretty, but it's not a very good game.
Shallow.
Yeah, it is the epitome of a launch title. Like, hey, look what the hardware can do. Now sit through a fucking 10-minute goddamn loading screen.
Look at these fucking graphics that we gotta load for 15 minutes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I beat Sunset Overdrive. Played some Massive Chalice, which is also free recently.
Are you still as high on Sunset Overdrive as you once were?
No, I finished. Once I finished, I was kind of done.
Yeah.
Massive Chalice, though, I like quite a bit. I think that's
a Massive Chalice is fun. Played a little Tomb Raider, because that was also free recently. No, I bought that one, I think. Dragon Age Inquisition, because I'm a masochist, and I can't stop playing that game.
Oh, I sure as hell could.
This is my third character now.
All right, so you weren't on the show when I finished that game.
No.
And so I want to hear your thoughts on my impression of that game, which is it is just more so than almost any other open world game I've played or open world-ish game I've played. Because I think there were some real issues with invisible walls and the landmarks of that game, way they wall off a lot of that stuff. I found these side quests, particularly the repetition of like closing rifts and establishing camps and all that stuff, that at a certain point, it's just boring.
Yeah, I definitely get that. It's frustrating because you play something like Skyrim where you can literally start at one side of the map and walk to the other if you want to, whereas this one feels like specific like levels, which is really frustrating. And some of them are really small, like the Storm Coast. But I mean, I enjoyed the game for the story and the characters.
Right. If that game was 30 to 40 hours long, one of the best games I ever played.
Yeah. A lot of the side questy stuff is kind of bullshit. But you know, it's entertaining for what it is, and you know, I'm replaying it again because I want to play the DLC, and I didn't have a character on my Xbox that I could play it with, so that's what I started. And I got it for free through EA Access, so.
Oh, you're the guy who bought that.
Yeah.
Hey man, $30 for a year of EA access and I can get free games? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I keep saying I'm going to go back and visit some of that Dragon Age DLC, but the finishing the game the first time kind of left a bad taste in my mouth about that game in general.
No, I get that. Let's see. I've played a little bit of Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, which is interesting, but I'm not very good at it because I know I'm not very good stealth games, so I just run in and start shooting shit and then die and then go, fuck this game.
That has also been my experience with Ground Zeroes.
You need a Fulton, you need a Fulton balloon so you can get better guns and then fuck some shit up.
I've been playing EA's UFC, which is by the same people who did the Fight Night franchises. And that game is fucking frustrating as shit. It's fun, but goddamn it, is it frustrating.
I mean, is it just poor controls, or are you...
No, it's just very complicated controls. Mm.
Is it, I mean, like, is it like Fight Night type controls where you're sweeping the sticks around, or...?
No, it's more of the face buttons are your punches and kicks, but there's so many different modifiers to those. Like, if you push the left stick one way and hit a button, it does a certain kind of move. Eh. And if you hold the trigger and hit it... Yeah, it's like advanced trigonometry, remembering all the fucking moves in that game. Like, I haven't even figured out some missions at this point. I'm just like, whatever, I'm just going to punch people in the head a lot and hope for a knockout.
Is it like a full 3D where you can move the camera around you, or is it just like a Mortal Kombat side combat?
The camera kind of moves around with you,
okay.
Which is nice. So it's a lot like Fight Night in that case, where you move around the octagon and the camera moves with you. I'm so far in my career 12 knockouts, no losses, but I have shut the system off several times when I've lost. Because fuck that game. I'm not gonna let, I will not have my streak ended by some bullshit.
Pull out the network cable. Are you playing online? Yep. Nope.
Yep. How to Survive Storm Warning. I just got that the other night. That's kind of neat. I haven't really put a lot of time into it yet. For a little zombie thing.
Is that on Xbox, or I've never heard of that?
Yeah, it's on Xbox. It's sort of an isometric zombie game where you have to run around and... you pick up little guy, you pick up like a little booklet that's called How to Survive, and it's like this Russian guy explaining how to play the game to you and different things about the game. It's kind of fun. And I think it's free right now, so if you have an Xbox One, pick that shit up. Rare Replay, which I've been playing, Perfect Dark, which holy shit, that game is awesome. Conker's Bad Fur Day, which is frustrating as shit. Grabbed by the Ghoulies, which is cute. I'm not crazy about the combat in it, but it's kind of a cute game, and I don't know how much more I'm going to play of it, but I'll see. Battletoads and Battletoads Arcade, which are obnoxiously difficult.
Isn't there like a rewind feature so you can actually fucking play Battletoads and like?
I think so, but I haven't looked it up yet.
Okay.
I literally only played Battletoads, both of them, for like maybe 10 minutes, and was just like, all right, that's enough of this. I played about 20 minutes of Need for Speed Rivals and then deleted it because I was like, this is dumb. Played Warframe, which was like, oh, this is kind of neat, and then got rid of it because I didn't care. Played a bunch of Hearthstone, but I haven't played that in a while because my Wi-Fi sucks.
Have you done like any of the Tavern Brawl shit?
No, I didn't get it. I wasn't leveled up at that point.
It's pretty Tavern Brawl is pretty fun because it's just regular Hearthstone, but there's like each I don't know, is it weekly that they do that? I think they like the brawl has modifiers on it. Like I played one week where it just kept spitting out cards nonstop. Like you would play a card, like certain cards in the deck just spawn other cards, and like the board was just constantly full of cards. So there was just huge fight going on back and forth, and you would end up with tons of taunt cards. So like it was hard to hit the other hero, but like minions were just dying left and right. It was really, really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good game. I just wish my Wi-Fi was strong enough to fucking play it. But it's not, which sucks. I played maybe an hour of Batman Arkham City, or Arkham Knight rather, and realized that I don't really want to play any more Arkham games at this point.
Yeah.
Like it's fun. I don't really like the Batmobile stuff particularly. It's it controls weird, and I don't like that the left trigger is not the brakes. That's really fucking weird.
All right, but if you flip into tank mode, you're sure as shit gonna break.
That's true. And you
That's
can blow some stuff up, and that's kind of awesome.
yep.
I played a couple rounds of Titanfall, also free through EA Access.
What'd you
And
think of that?
it's okay. It's basically Call of Duty with mechs, which I'm
Yeah.
okay with.
We played, I know Bo, it was what, you and me and Mark and Wade played that?
Yeah, I believe that was
And
the
like it was
lineup.
a free weekend, like a there was like a 48-hour pass, and we played it one night for like 5, 6 hours and had a great time, and then yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay money for it, but you know, because it's free in the EA Vault with my year subscription. I was like, ah, fuck it, why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's a decent one of those, but like they need to do something to make it a little like the replay value needs to
Yeah,
come
just
somewhere.
another one of those is just not a good enough game these
No.
days to make a splash.
No.
Yeah, it really is just Call of Duty with mechs, and that's fine for what it is, but
It's a
yeah.
it's a great version of that, but like I'm so burned out on the whole Call of Duty style that
Yeah.
you know.
And
It's
then
unreal.
is that everything? No, and then the big one is Dark Souls 2, which
Ah.
is simultaneously the most hilarious game I've ever played and the stupidest game I've ever played.
Have you played Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain?
No, not yet. And I know a lot of people love Dark Souls, but that game is janky as fuck.
Yeah, I played the first one
Like,
and it kind of bounced off it pretty hard because it was like the controls were just really wonky.
yeah, like the controls are wonky and like it's difficult, but not because it's particularly challenging. It's more difficult just because the controls can be obnoxious and the character animations are fucked up. And so you can't, sometimes you just can't interrupt an enemy's animation. And it's like, what the
Yeah.
fuck? Yeah, that game is incredibly frustrating. Although dying in it can be hysterical, because I've had some pretty hilarious death scenes in that game just because something dumb happened.
Yeah.
Accidentally falling off a ledge because my foot barely touched the wrong square on the map, and all of a sudden I'm falling to my death.
I had a lot of problems with the camera in the first one. Is that
Yeah, the
still an
camera's kind
issue?
of not really. I don't remember the camera being too much of a tr too much trouble.
Like I would just like get it stuck on things. I don't know how to describe it better than that. Like I couldn't get it to view the way I wanted it to sometime, and it would lead to like stupid deaths like that.
No, it's been pretty good. And most
Yeah.
of the stupid deaths that have happened have been because I've run into there's not a I'm not playing with a guide. I refuse to play that game with a guide.
Yeah.
So I just run into an area and then I get murdered because there's an enemy that I can't kill, and then I have to try and go back and get my souls. And there are times when the last time I played, I was being chased by four giant stone guys, and I was just like, "Fuck it, I'm not gonna go back for those souls. I don't need them that badly."
Similar to an experience Bo just had in a marijuana dispensary in Los Angeles.
Yeah, very
Four
much.
giant stone guys chasing him.
Yeah, that. Except mine was not quite as janky,
Didn't have
and
problems with the camera and dispensary.
the camera was fine, and I gotta tell you, legitimately scary.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's pretty much everything I've played. Yeah, Destiny's cool. Like I'm said, I'm looking forward to the Taken King. Halo 4 made me give a shit about Halo again, which is impressive. Yeah, Rare Replay is awesome, and I got
Yeah.
it for half price because I
Viva
got it from the
Pinata,
company
y'all.
store. I haven't touched that one yet.
Oh,
Like I
that's a
said,
good
most of my
game.
time has been with Perfect Dark, which it's as close to GoldenEye as I'm going to get at this point because I'm not going to go out and buy a goddamn Nintendo 64 just to play GoldenEye. But man, Perfect Dark is fucking boss.
Man, I think apropos of nothing. I mean, we've done three people's worth of what have you been playing, so I feel like we're done there. If history is any judge, we're finished.
I have a
Yeah.
list.
I
Nobody
your
cares, Ginger.
your list yeah, your list is not recognized by the Shotcast Authority. I have to say though, I may be right next door to getting a Wii U.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What is motivating that?
I've got a lady friend She is not a big fan of most video games. You know, she is a little bit of a gamer. Came out of a little World of Warcraft, so that's kind of cool. But she's big into some of the Wii U games, and
Did
we
she
were.
smash?
She likes the Mario Kart and the Smash Brothers. Are
Nice.
yeah.
Those are actually, she's a
those are
keeper.
good things to like.
So we were having that discussion earlier today that there may be a Wii U in our future. So I don't know.
Look at you go.
Look at you. Who's a boo
Get
boo?
your video games wherever you can get your video games.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the reason I mentioned that though is I am kind of curious to check out this Mario Maker thing. That
That
seems real
sounds fucking
cool.
incredible. Yeah, like
Yeah.
everything I've heard about that makes it sound like
Yeah.
just if you are into Mario at all, that is the thing to own.
Yeah. Seems like a real cool thing to tinker with, but
Just the like the levels that are going to get created by the community and that with that editor system sounds like it will perpetually be fun to go back to.
yeah, that's the thing that's really got me intrigued. Not so much building my own levels, because who has the time, really? But I would love to play some, you know, classic ass Mario, but new levels you've never seen before, you know, that are really inventive and that kind of thing. So, all right. So next up is news. Oh wait, I think.
Justin, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt before it was my turn to talk.
Jeez, John. You're really pushing me tonight, Dylan. So what have you been playing?
I want to ask Justin a question about spin tires. What the fuck do you do in that game? let me tell you what I did in that game. Started it up, got on a Jeep, got stuck in the mud about 200 yards down the road like 15 times in a row, and turned it off. That's what I did in spin tires.
That is part of what you do.
Okay, all right.
But
I was playing part of it properly then. Okay.
you essentially haul lumber.
Okay.
You go to the different, you have to like drive through the map because it's sort of, you have that fog of war when you start out. And as you explore, you'll find these different like little kind of station type areas.
I found like a big truck, but I couldn't figure out how to get in it.
It's some buttons on your
Buttons? No,
it's
I'm not doing that.
it's
Yeah,
been a
that sounds like bullshit. I'm
been a
here to play
minute
games, not push buttons.
been a minute since I played it, but basically you're hauling lumber from point A to point B and then trying to
That's the problem,
find
because I'm used to laying pipe. Yeah.
Man,
really classing up the joint tonight.
hey man, you guys missed a lot of opportunities for dick jokes last episode.
It's good to know you're out there.
We like to allow the listeners a chance to make them for themselves, you know, so you feel like you're a part of the dick joke.
It's like any good art. You bring your dick jokes to it.
That's right.
And the last podcast was sponsored by Donald Trump and
That's
specifically
true.
asked us to
Yeah.
refrain from the dick joke.
That's right.
But we
Not
lost
a
that
problem with
sponsorship.
dick. Yeah, we did. We lost that sponsorship hard.
Yeah, it turns out we were a little heavy on the Sarah Palin references, and he did not appreciate that.
With a very strongly whistle.
Oh.
He was done.
Yeah, you just faded right the hell out there, Justin.
Yep, lost
Yeah,
you.
yeah.
I thought that was just me.
Sorry.
God damn
It
it.
was Mr. Trump.
Yeah, see? He's blacking
Yes.
us out. Motherfucker, he's got like a 7 second delay on the podcast.
I'm gonna have the classiest mute button for Justin you ever saw.
I also played some Hearthstone, as I mentioned. Did the Tavern Brawl, which is great. That is continually another, just like fucking Blizzard. They make games that you can just kind of go back to and keep playing.
Yeah.
A game that I backed on Kickstarter, which had kind of a sketchy launch, Planetary Annihilation has
Oh,
released
yeah.
a new expansion called Planetary Annihilation Titans. And it's basically what it adds to the game. So if you've never played it or seen it, it is you spawn. It's like a God, don't even know what kind of a game genre it is, but you spawn as a single robot on a planetary surface in 3D, and you can move the camera around, and the first thing you do with that robot is build a factory that builds other robots. And the whole object of the game is to just find and completely destroy the enemy player on the planet. It can be AI, you can play multiplayer online. But with the Titans expansion, they added like these gigantic fucking robots that are like 10 to 15 times taller than any other unit in the game, and they just do massive damage and just kind of adds to the overall epicness of it. I think I've talked about the original on here before, but a neat expansion. They're getting a little flack where people are like, well, one of the reasons they did this was because the review scores on Steam for it and Metacritic for the original were not great, because they had kind of a, they released, kind of went live, went gold with the game before a lot of people thought that a lot of the Kickstarter promised things that were supposed to be in it were actually in it. So you can kind of see that they maybe created a new version of it to kind of erase that and maybe get some better reviews for this version, when this could have just been like a DLC product for it. But it's pretty goddamn fun, so I don't really care about that shit. So if you're
you let a good game excuse everything.
I know. If you're into like thousands and thousands of robots fighting on your screen in a very epic manner with kick-ass soundtrack blasting in the background of like really well-produced, epic kind of orchestral music going on, it's really, really fucking fun.
Ugh, sounds terrible.
Yeah, no. I finally played, since the last time we talked, Fallout Shelter came out. Here's my toiletry of the week. And I played it every day, like checked in on it 5 to 10 times a day for like 2 weeks straight, and I'm done with that game.
That's about right. Yeah. Shotcast toiletry of the week.
I have my own toiletry game of the week.
Oh, yes?
So, it's this new game. I don't know if you guys have tried it. It's called Tinder.
Uh-huh.
Now, bear with me here. It's a kind of an RPG in a sense. So you sign up, and it's like an MMO, and you put your picture on there, and you get your little character profile about yourself. And so you go in there.
Is there a character creation that doesn't do anything?
Sort of. So much as you upload a picture of yourself and then some stuff about yourself.
Custom character.
And then, So then, once you do that, you go in and then... kind of.
Except the loot in this game is called Poon.
Yes. Exactly.
The golden poon.
So you swipe right and it shows you pictures of other characters, right? And you swipe right on the ones you like, and you swipe left on the ones you don't like.
Is this a card battling game?
No, but it has an extra challenge, because if you swipe right on somebody and they've swiped right on you, then it tells you that you've made a match.
Oh.
And then you have to try and send them a message to engage them.
It's like a random encounter.
Yes.
Okay.
And I fail all of them.
Yeah, there's a high degree of failure states in that game.
You haven't leveled up, man. You just gotta level up.
I know, it's incredibly difficult.
It's a punishing, punishing game.
It is. It's fucking depressing.
I mean, you gotta do something while you're taking a shit, so it's, I mean...
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Johnny Dolan, anything else you've been playing?
Yeah. Played a little game called Mad Max.
What the fuck is up with Mad Max? I hear it's kind of bad.
Those people are wrong.
Really? I have that loaded on my Xbox. I'm going to play that once we're done.
People who say that game is bad are fucking idiots that don't know what video games are. Because that game's awesome.
Really? Okay.
It may be some of the things that people are complaining about. I saw Polygon gave it a 5 out of 10. That guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, IGN gave it like an 8.
That guy's a fucking idiot. The game is an 8 at the bottom, possibly. It's Shadow of Mordor with Batman with, like, probably one of the most fun driving simulators you've ever played, because you can drive your car through other cars, and they explode into thousands of pieces, and people catch on fire and run around and scream. You can.
I like all of those things.
I did this last night. I was driving down the road and another car came up. Spotter came up next to me and they were starting to ram into my car and I didn't have a lot of health in my car. So I deployed my harpoon through the driver's face, dragged him out of his car and behind my car for about 15 miles through the desert.
Nice.
He probably tried to keep up for a little while, and then his little legs just couldn't keep up.
Tough little mutt. But yeah, so I feel like one of the news stories I have for later is about the Machinima guys getting busted for taking money from Microsoft to give the Xbox good reviews.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah, and one of the controversies with Mad Max was reviewers did not get advanced copies to review this game. They got it on the same day as everybody else. And I almost feel like there's a backlash from certain, you know, game review outlets because of that. Like, I can't point to certain things, but it just seems weird that it's getting hate because it's beautiful. I'm playing it on my PC. I got it through Steam. And I do not have a high-end processor in this thing. It's high enough. It's quad-core AMD Phenom, quad-core, a few years old now. And I'm getting 30 frames per second out of it, and it's going up to 60 at certain points in the game. Wow. And I'm actually starting to give a lot of credit for my increased performance on games with an older system to Windows 10 since I've installed it.
Yeah.
I've had nothing but sweet action.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board. I like Windows 10
Windows
quite a bit.
Windows 10's fucking tight so far.
I do
far.
Too. It's
fantastic. And it is improved.
I'm really impressed because like my laptop was running. It came with 8, and then when it was running 8.1, it fucking took forever to load. But it boots up so fast with 10. It is fucking awesome.
So when you go into the graphics settings on the PC version of Mad Max, you can, you know, you have like your high, very high, ultra. And then there's a setting called Max. That's fucking awesome. So I went like meticulously down all the graphics settings and turned everything up to the highest possible level, the highest possible, you know, shadows and anti-aliasing and everything. It's completely at the top end of what you can do on the PC. And a couple of times I've seen the frames drop down to 22, which is nuts considering, you know, my processor's like 5 years old. So it's very well optimized game, obviously. Works great with Windows 10. There's specifically, I have an NVIDIA card, 760. There's a new driver out specifically for Metal Gear Solid 5 and Mad Max is the driver, the game's named in the driver update. Works awesome. So I don't know. I think some of the hate for this game comes from that basically all of the elements of the game are things you've seen before. Like the combat, the on-the-ground combat when you get out of the car is Batman. It was, you know, the somebody comes approaching you and you can take a swing at him with your X button. But if a yellow indicator flashes above their head, you need to hit Y to counter their attack. And then you can just beat the living shit out of them. And then you come across some enemies that have heavy attacks and you just have to kind of straight up dodge those by hitting the right bumper. So it's that exact same combat, but it's like you can – it's – Batman and Shadow of Mordor style where you can be pushing left on your stick and punching a guy and then you can just keep hitting your punch button and move your stick to the right and he'll like fluidly, you know, the animations are great. You can step and start beating the shit out of some other guy, but it adds where if you've got a guy near a wall and you start punching him, he'll like shove the guy into the wall and like start just going low and just punching him in the gut really, really fucking hard up against the wall. And if you're punching him in the face up against the wall, like the guy's head will fucking start bouncing off the wall while you're hitting him. And you can, like, guys will attack you with weapons. You can take the weapon away and then you start slashing guys with these big, you know, like knives welded on the end of big steel poles and shit. It looks like Mad Max. It's got that vibe. The fucking desert is huge. The draw distance on this is insane. I've not seen a single pop in since I've been playing this game, not once.
Nice.
And the desert looks fucking awesome. Like there's a heat effect you can turn on in the graphics settings that does like the wavy distortion lines, and you'll come around a corner in the car and the sun is kind of like there's a day night cycle to it. you'll come around the corner and the sun is kind of low in the sky and you're seeing all this distortion, but then it just get like super bright and washed out. And it really reminded me of the side scene from Journey where the sun is coming through and you get just like that awesome like glare treatment. It's got kind of that just great orange kind of glow to the game. It just, it makes it look really hot. Like it just looks fucking miserably hot while you're out in this game. I don't know what the fucking people are talking about that don't like this game. It starts off a little slow, but then you get a car and you start blowing shit up and you get a fucking sniper rifle and you can shoot guys from really far away and they fall out of big towers to their death. And it's just, I don't know. I don't get the hate at all.
And the Steam version comes with Fury Road, does it not?
I don't believe it comes with it. I think it's an extra purchase. You can get a discount on it.
Oh.
If you purchase them together. But so here's where I'm like starting to get into the questioning where some of this hate is coming from and trying to like, you know, in my mind think, is it because they weren't allowed to have review copies and you're like kind of harshing their gig as an outlet? But if you go to Steam, where's the store page on this motherfucker? Yeah, that's my birthday. Overwhelmingly positive. 96% of the 2,877 reviews for this game are positive. And like on Metacritic, the user score last time I checked was like 8.2 and the critic score was 75. So there's something fucked up going on because everybody who's playing this game on Steam fucking loves it. So I don't know. You know, and so I had the same thing. Like, I bought it, and I hadn't played it yet, and I started seeing all these shitty reviews, and I just went, oh, fuck. And I started playing it, and it was kind of slow, and I'm like, oh, man. And this is after I played Metal Gear for a while, and I'm totally in love with that game already, and I'm just like, I'm maybe going to turn this off, and I'm going to go back to Metal Gear, but I really should give this a try. And then it just started getting fucking awesome. And there's just 100 upgrade options for your car. You're slowly rebuilding your car so that it gets more badass. And it does a really cool kind of gating system where, instead of just putting an invisible wall somewhere, like it's just fucking wasteland. And if you just drive out into the wasteland, it's just like, yeah, you're going to die. You can't go that way because there's nothing out there. And if you're trying to go to a part of the map that you're not allowed, there is just like a stronghold there that you, like your car is not beefed up enough to get into. Like you are just not capable of breaking into this place yet. So you need to go around and do some, you know, side missions to gather some shit. And I've read some complaints where people are like, yeah, it's just fetch quests. You're going out and you're finding scrap at all these little outposts. It's very like, it's like Far Cry where there's little pockets of resistance all around the map. And if you want to level your guy up, you got to go to those things, but it's so much fun to just like roll up on a place and you can hop out of your car and you can just beat the living shit out of the four guys that happen to be camping out there. Or you can roll by, alert them that you're there. They come running out into the open and then you turn around and you just fucking plumb over. You hit your nitro and just blast through a group of like three guys and their bodies go flying all over the fucking place. It's fantastic. So I was
looking forward to playing that tonight.
Yes, I was also worried when I bought both of them on the same day. I bought Metal Gear Solid and I bought Mad Max on the same day. And I'm like, am I just fucking myself by getting two open world games? Am I going to just be so tired of one of these that I won't play the other? And like, they're totally different style open world games. Like you are just going to dig driving around in this fucking car in this game and doing all the shit that you can do with the car. And then if you're tired of that, you can jump out of the car and you can do some on foot stuff. And it's like the Mad Max universe. Everything's really fucking horrible, awful, post-apocalyptic looking, you know, shit welded together that doesn't belong together. And if I had to give it like a score, it's like a 9 easy for me. I don't understand.
Would you say it's perfect in every way?
Maybe I might say that. People who are saying it's a bad game are just, they're fucking idiots. They have like no business reviewing video games because they are just flat out wrong on this one. So that's my 2 cents.
John Dolan, once again, swimming against the stream.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to turn around. Like, review scores are going to level off, and the critic score for this game is going to end up making critics look stupid. So, that's fine.
All right. Anything else that you would like to, shake your fist at the moon about?
I played another Metal Gear game.
What the hell is going on with you people?
I busted out my NES and busted out my original Metal Gear game.
Oh, wow.
I booted it up, and I walked onto the first screen, and the guy fell asleep, and I punched him out. And I walked onto the second screen, and the three dogs devoured me, and I turned it off.
Yep.
Because it was stupid and impossible, so I turned it off. But I did play it. So 28 years of gaming in a single day spanned in my house. So that's all I got. All right.
Well done. All right, guys. I think it is best now we turn our attention to news.
News me.
News all over your face.
Oh, you know how that, Dolan.
Let's have some of that hot, sticky news, Dolan.
Buckets of hot news.
Thick, ropey strings of news.
This is what I missed.
All right, I couldn't be more ready for news now. I'm
going to throw the brakes on and go with an article that I'm not going to get too deep into, but there's a really interesting read. I'm very interested in fighting games, mostly because I'm terrible at them, which has been well established on this podcast. Right. But I found an article it's an older article. I don't know exactly where it came from. But if you search for human reaction times and fighting games or why blocking isn't always easy, you will find out exactly why you suck at fighting games.
Go on.
It goes into just really awesome, like, mathematical detail about reaction times in those types of games, which let me just find the paragraph here, and I'll just read it straight up because it's interesting. Since fighting games do run at a static 60 frames per second, we are able to discern the exact fraction of a second that we have to react to any given attack. Infill, on their blog dedicated to helping Street Fighter players transition to Killer Instinct, recently put up an excellent post discussing how human reaction time ties into the latter in particular. Through some simple math, they were able to discern the average human reaction time of about 265 milliseconds equates to roughly 16 frames in a 60 FPS game. If you like to test your own reaction time, they have a thing you can do. This means that any attack with a startup time above 16 frames should afford enough of a gap for a reasonable reaction. So they, like, break it down into, like, the level of detail that they're putting into games like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, where it's down to, it literally is, like, frames. And if you are unable to react within the animation that it takes your opponent to, you know, officially get their attack to register, you're not going to block that shit. So if you can't react in 265 milliseconds, like, if your reaction time is just not that fast, you are never going to be good at fighting games. So it just, like, a fascinating read. Human reaction times in fighting games or why blocking isn't always easy. Just Google that shit. And, you know, it's like maybe a 2-3 minute read. But there's some links within it that you can kind of go down a more of a detailed hole on that one. But just, like, it made me feel better that there's, like, a reason that I suck.
No, like, that's every time I've said that, like, listening to people talk about Street Fighter is like listening to people try to explain, like, advanced chemistry. That's why, because they're just talking about, like, frames and shit, and I'm like, I don't understand a word you're saying. You're just speaking gibberish now.
Yeah, so just a really cool article if you're interested in that kind of shit at all.
That also translates into first-person shooters, too. I watched, YouTuber, his name's Battle Nonsense, and he has all these videos trying to explain the, like, hertz rates of the netcode in Battlefield 4. So, like, of, like, breaking it down frame by frame of, like, here's when I clicked the fire button, and then here's when my gun actually fired, and then here's a server that runs at a different hertz rate.
Yeah.
It's all this other crazy
stuff. It's like there's the videos of people, like, playing Counter-Strike where it just seems like they're using the fucking force or something, but
I haven't ruled out yet, by the way.
Yeah. Like they come around a corner and, like, there's no guy there, but they just happen to know that that's a choke point, and they fire a couple of rounds, and they've just learned that if you're not shooting a couple of rounds off when you go around this corner at this exact height, at this exact angle, and there is a guy there, you're going to die first. So they've just, they like min-max it down to frames. And I don't have time for that shit.
Right, right. I'm an adult with things to do.
Hearthstone is pulling in $20 a month, or 20. Sorry.
Wow, that thing is a failure.
It's going down the fucking toilet. $20 million a month.
Whew.
Oh, that sounds like a lot more.
Yes. Successful card game. Apparently, it is screwing up other card games' abilities to make money.
How so?
It is taking all of the money. It is apparently hugely popular.
So. Well, you know, at a certain point, you have a best-in-type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Hearthstone is, you know?
And they did give me to spend $25 on that first expansion.
Yeah, I bought it too. It's fun.
Yeah.
$20 million a month, split evenly between PC and mobile versions of the game. So the mobile versions of that game are fantastic. If you haven't played them, you should download them on your little phone-type device, because that's some fun shit. It'll make you take craps for half an hour.
That's why it's a poor toiletry.
Yes, it is. It's more of a couch-a-tree. Couch, I don't know.
It's close enough.
Something. You play it. Go.
Still, 20 million. All right, let's think about this for a second.
A lot of goddamn money every month.
Yeah. Like, no matter what the development cost of that game, let's assume. I mean, because it's been out 6 months, right?
It's been out for like a year.
Yeah. So.
At least.
It's been out since 1978.
When we started this podcast.
When this podcast began.
Well, I mean, we recorded episodes at 78. I wouldn't say we started it then.
Yeah, it's...
Well, we are Time Lords.
Yeah. As we have noted several times. But yeah, so if you're pulling down $20 million a month, at what point do you do a Hearthstone 2, or is that even necessary?
I don't even think it's necessary. I mean, they just, well, because they keep adding new cards. They keep, the expansions that they've been coming up with have all been pretty good. The fact that they have, like, what's the season mode going on, you know, every month it kind of resets your rank and you kind of, you know, start again. But I really like that mechanic of it where if you played down to a certain rank, like if, what do you start off at? 25, I think is where you start. And it, like, if you got down to 17, when the season rolls over, like, you get credit for all the ranks that you've achieved, and it kind of ranks you up a certain, like, not back to where you were, but you get, you know, bumped up to, like, 20 or something like that immediately. I think that's a cool, you get rewarded for playing the game instead of punished, like a lot of free-to-plays do. Let's see. In Charles Bronson motherfucker news.
Go on.
John Smedley, CEO of Daybreak Games, who made his personal mission to squash Lizard Squad, has left Daybreak Games. He quit, said, this is too much bullshit, I'm leaving this job. But apparently he's started another studio, and I think that's just like code for he's gone off the grid and he's going to start slitting throats.
Right.
If anybody has not heard the stories of this previously, apparently Lizard Squad, they were responsible for like the Christmas hackings of Xbox and PS and networks, and called in a bomb threat to this guy's fucking plane, and apparently defiled his father's gravestone. And I just find the story fascinating because, like, you may think you're a hot shit hacker, but this guy will always have more money than you. So he will find you and he will squash your brain.
I'm kind of hoping that he started a Mr. Robot style hacker group of his own.
Yeah.
To find these guys and then Bronson his way through the list of names, as you mentioned. I think that would be pretty great. And I kind of want to do the movie.
Yeah. So he says he's a CEO of a new company, the name of which has not been revealed. And I think it's like, you know, I'm going to fuck your mom and kill your dog, Incorporated.
I like it.
It's just that story continues to be interesting to me. I'm not a Dota 2 fan, but I do like the show Rick and Morty, and I think the voice pack, the Rick and Morty voice pack, if you haven't listened, you can actually just go and listen to like the voiceover that was done for it. And just as a fan of video games in general, where I've, you know, experienced voice pack add-ons for things previously. It's really, really fucking funny. It's just the recordings of it are great. If you're into that show at all, check that out.
This ain't no Snoop Dogg voice pack.
No, no. It's fucking funny as shit. Like, I don't play Dota, but I went and listened to, like, all the recordings for it, and there's just some great stuff in there. The new Tomb Raider, they've specifically come out and said that there are avenues in that game where you can basically stealth or non-lethal your way pretty much through the entire game, which was one of the criticisms of the last Tomb Raider, which I didn't really have a problem with because I like fucking murdering
people. Yeah, neither did I.
Right, but I mean, tonally, it was a bit dissonant because you had a character that was constantly, you know, struggling with these moral decisions about how to protect the people that she was, you know.
And then murdering 60 guys in, like, super violent fashion.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Like, also dying in hysterically violent ways.
Yeah, I was about to say.
We're just going to let this one happen. I want to see people dying. I don't care if it's me or them.
I got to say, when I was playing back through Tomb Raider not too long ago, that was a thing that really stuck out to me as being something that almost felt out of place in the game was some of the more gruesome, you know, Lara Croft death scenes.
But the one in particular that really stuck out.
The water sequence,
Yeah, she's sliding down and gets like a bamboo pole, like hits underneath her jaw and like comes out her head. I'm like, man, like instant death. That's just some fucked up shit. The Federal Trade Commission, I mentioned this briefly earlier, has come down on Machinima for basically doing, I guess, payola, if you're old enough to be familiar with that concept, where people used to pay disc jockeys to play their records, and the disc jockeys did not say, I'm being paid to play this record. Essentially, several YouTubers have been busted for taking tens of thousands of dollars from Microsoft's advertising firm and favorably talking about their products on their YouTube channels, which is illegal. You have to let people know that you are reviewing things well and being paid to do so. That's kind of fucked up.
Yep.
Well, but I don't think that's terribly surprising, you know?
No.
I mean, like money.
I mean, obviously that shit's going on, but it's like, kind of the first, I don't know, like the whole game, like Twitch, you know, all this, where there's a whole new, I mean, this wasn't around 5 years ago where you just watched video games instead of watching TV. It's awesome. I love it. But like, they're still kind of figuring that shit out. And this is like kind of the first major hiccup, I guess, I've seen. Like, I mean, I don't know. Part of me doesn't care, like with most things like this, because I don't know. I've learned to ignore advertisements so well that the shit just, I don't feel like it works on me. So if somebody's saying like this stuff with Mad Max, like I heard so much bad shit about it and was like prepared to be disappointed, but I'm like, no, I'm going to go fucking play this and see because it looks awesome to me. And lo and behold, fucking liars. Did any of you guys see the live action zombie shooter that some people orchestrated on Chat Roulette?
No, yes. But that sounds great.
It was awesome.
It was really well done. So they've got like a first person camera and you, like it was mounted on the guy's chest or something like a GoPro and you could see his hands. And they had some like large property that they had meticulously set up and had actors painted up in zombie paint. And so if anybody doesn't know how Chat Roulette works, it's just a two video screens and you are randomly connected with other people. And most of the time you watch some dude jerking off.
A lot of dicks.
A lot of dicks on Chat Roulette.
Yeah. I mean, mine's one of them. So, yeah.
But like some of the greatest hits were like Ben Folds, the piano player, musician guy, like went on there one time and was like playing his songs for people. And people were like, holy shit, that's fucking Ben Folds. You know? And I thought like Chat Roulette had died. I didn't even know it was still a thing unless you wanted to see dicks. But apparently these guys set this up. So it's like the guy who's got the camera mounted on his chest and you can see his hands is talking to the viewer personally, and he's like, well, I'm in this room, and there's a door on the left side, and I see a box over here on the right. What do you want me to do? And then the person on the other chat window would say, oh, well, open the box. So you go over and go, oh, I found a pistol in here. Well, pick up the pistol. Okay, now go out the door. And it was literally like they were playing him, like he was the character, and they were controlling him by telling him what to do. And if you haven't watched it, it's fucking great. Like, they really did a nice job on this, and totally worth your time. It was really cool. Super clever. Never seen anything like that. Like, the level that they took it to was, like, really, really, like, top-notch. Like, they did some cool, funny shit in it. YouTube has live streaming, a Twitch version, gaming.youtube.com. If you're into that crap, go watch games on the internets. Sometimes we do that kind of stuff.
Indeed. Yep. So what? I. What's the difference between, say, Twitch and YouTube? Is YouTube doing anything different?
I mean, it's just a streaming. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. they're figuring out new and better ways to take money from you, basically, or other people. But yeah, I mean, it's just like, if you don't want to stream, your games on Twitch, you can now stream them on YouTube, or you could use Hitbox, or numerous other ones. But it's like one of those occasions where YouTube is like late to the game, but everybody uses YouTube, and there's millions and millions of Let's Plays and tons of other gaming videos on there. So it's just like a natural thing. Like, I'm surprised it took them this long to get it, but
It's weird to me because you can already do this on YouTube. You can already live stream before this, but it's just like, oh, we added, go to gaming.youtube.com.
Yeah. Like, they made it an official, like, obviously they're trying to take on Twitch directly. So
they only have support with a couple of broadcast pieces of software.
And yeah.
Shadowplay is not in there.
Yet. Yeah, there's like, you can use what's the open source one?
OBS.
OBS.
Open Broadcaster, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can use that one, and then there was
XSplit.
XSplit, yeah, there was some more paid options, but yeah, there were less options than you could use with like a Twitch or a Hitbox, but that's interesting. More the merrier. I'm all for it.
Yeah, but I mean, it still feels like they're a little late to the game with Twitch having been so entrenched,
Yeah. So, let's see, where do I want to go next with this? Batman Arkham Knight PC patch was finally released and then pulled back down almost immediately.
It's back up, FYI. Back up. Yeah.
Okay. It's just like, how long has that game been out? A couple of months?
Yeah, I think it originally came out in, what, 08? No, but it is crazy how long it's been since the actual PC release of that game.
Yeah.
And that they're just now getting a patch out. And you still can't buy it. This is just a patch.
Yeah.
If you bought it at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's still not for sale. But they, like, the patch that they had that fixed stuff immediately pulled back down.
I would just be like, we're just, no.
Forget it. Here's your money back. We're not releasing this fucking game.
Well, my understanding of the patch that came out, it was sort of the beta for the patch, just to make sure that they weren't breaking anything worse.
God.
And that they put it out and then pulled it back down just to see where things were, and I think it's back out now.
Not filling me with a lot of confidence.
That's a real bummer because, despite 25% of the show's hosts not necessarily being a fan of the game, I'm looking at you, Anders.
I didn't say it was bad. I just said I'm a little burnt out on Arkham.
Sure. I do think it's a gorgeous looking game for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it is more Arkham Batman gaming. So if you're into that, which I'm, I think it's a great game. I think it's a lot of fun. I think the Riddler car missions are a little stupid.
Oh, those are fucking terrible.
But that aside, it's not so much of the game that it gets in the way, I think. But it's a real bummer that PC port is just, like, that game is going to be remembered largely for how terrible that port was, and no matter how they fix it and when they fix it, that's still going to be the story of the game. Like, nobody's going to...
It's going to be too fucking late because Metal Gear is out and people are going to play that instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whoever did not get Arkham Knight at the time of release on PC and wanted to,
They're certainly not buying it.
yeah, at this
Yeah.
point that ship has sailed. You know, that game sales were definitely crippled by
Yeah.
how shitty a port it was.
When it hits Steam sales for $9.99, they'll sell a bunch of them, but at that point, like, they've lost all that money. It's too late. For those of you who have lady friends that like Nintendo products.
I've heard of people like that. Go on.
Okay. Nintendo filed a patent application for their new console with no physical disk drive in it.
I heard that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously people have been talking about the Nintendo NX, I believe, is kind of the
That's the
code
code
name.
name, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, people already kind of knew that it was a real deal, but when you start finding shit like this, it's like it's a real deal. So,
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they're probably going to save a shitload of money going
yeah.
just straight digital than they would be to try and produce discs.
Well, I mean, and they had like the even on the Wii, the original Wii, they had their little fucking digital store already working. I mean, it wasn't great. It didn't work super
Right.
awesome, but it was there. So,
And it seems to work better on the Wii U, I guess, was my
yeah.
understanding. So
So, yeah.
it'll be kind of interesting if they're the first company to make that leap, you know? To just say like,
Yeah.
hey, we're not doing physical. Like at some point you've got to do something that represents a physical copy, whether that's if it's not an optical drive, maybe it's a memory card or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that
Well.
was in the patent there was something about it there being like a memory card type of thing involved.
Man, what
Yeah.
they could be going back to cartridges for all we know.
Exactly.
That's
I mean,
true.
yeah,
plastic, it's.
that's in this article that I found on Polygon. It's Neo Gaffers who first spotted the filing ruminated that the presence of a memory card and a slot could mean the return of a cartridge-based console for the first time since the Nintendo 64 nearly 20 years ago.
Flash storage is super cheap now.
It's cheap and it works great and it's
Yeah.
extremely non-volatile. You can't scratch your flash card.
It's true.
Yeah. So, well,
And I
that
would
sounds
not mind
interesting.
cartridges again.
You can have a flash card removed from your rectum in an emergency room. I'm not
Los
saying that
Angeles,
it, not saying that
motherfucker.
happened to me, but it's not comfortable.
Tonight on the season finale, he gets a flash drive removed.
What else do I got here? Windows 10, which we apparently all like, is already the third most popular operating system on Steam. And apparently it's going to be the most popular shortly. Let me read the numbers on it here. Windows 10 usage now trails. Oh, fucking pop-up ads. Get your bullshit off my screen. Windows 10 now trails just Windows 8.1 64-bit, which accounts for 23.36% of users. Oh, and your autoplay and audio and your fucking commercial on your page too? Yeah, don't go to PCGamer.com. They suck ass. Let's see. Sorry.
I gotta tell you, when it comes to Windows 10, yes, I really like Windows 10, but I'm
Yep.
playing a little hard to get. You know, I
Yeah.
don't want to see me see.
It's really nice. It fixed several driver issues, and I don't think I brought this up on the podcast. I can play Far Cry 4 with a fucking joystick because I installed Windows 10.
Nice.
Well done.
And I
Solve
gotta
that problem.
say, Edge is not bad.
Yeah, it works. Which is more
I
than you
mean,
can say for Internet
I'm.
Explorer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still using Firefox pretty exclusively for my
Yeah.
main browser, but
That's because you're not insane.
I when I use Edge, I like what they've done with it. I'm interested to see the updates that they're going to put into it, but I
Seems a
think
lot
it's
like Chrome
definitely
to me.
a much it's yeah, but it's definitely better than Internet Explorer has ever been.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that.
Well, let me just
Still not
read
ever going to use it.
it. Yeah. Windows 7 64-bit is the top dog with 39%. But Windows 8 64-bit and Windows 7 64-bit, let's see, in the last. I think it was over the last, yeah, in the last month have lost respectively 7.6% and 5.26% of their bases, respectively, to Windows 10. So that shit is happening. So people seem to like the Windows.
Well, I just installed Windows 7. Oh my God. I did not do Windows 10.
You're not doing 10?
Not yet.
No.
Yeah. Were you making the jump from Millennium to 7? Is that
98
yeah.
SE.
Yeah.
I'm still on 3.1. You know, I was playing those LucasArts.
Oh, nice. Flex. Little loom.
Full throttle.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I was a big fan of The Dig. Anybody else ever play The Dig?
You've brought it up on the show before and nobody cares.
Great, man. It was post Full Throttle. Fantastic game. Get yourself some Dig.
I'm a Service Pack 1 kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, like wait for... No, but like every time Windows comes out, I wait till there's like a Service Pack for it, and then I'll go to it.
Yeah. It's a wise choice. Can't argue with that logic. I labeled this, and in continuing to fuck it up news, Star Wars Battlefront has no server browser, which ruins the ability to, in the original Battlefront and Battlefront 2, you could, you know, create a custom game of a certain series of maps that you wanted to play and have custom options on those maps. And if you were left trusting EA to set up things that you want for you, that ain't going to work. So in continuing stories about why I'm becoming less and less excited about Star Wars Battlefront, even though I want to be more and more excited about it, it just keeps getting worse.
It's still going to sell like a million.
Oh my God.
Copies.
Yeah.
Well, just, you see, and here's the upside of having EA access. I should have early access to that game about a week or two before it comes out.
Nice.
So I'll be able to report in on how it plays.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that one. Like, I don't pre-order anymore. I mean,
fuck that, dude.
Over the years, but like
pre-ordering's for suckers.
I'm not getting that shit on day one either because I'm just gonna wait to see how fucked up it is. So,
since we're mentioning early access and pre-orders, did you guys run across the Deus Ex? Any of the articles
about?
Oh yeah. Like, you know, if enough people pre-order it, then it'll come out sooner.
Yeah, Giant Bomb had an interesting. I think it was Jeff Gerstmann was like, well, you know, because apparently they haven't like announced what the amounts are. Like,
right.
They haven't said if we get 500,000 pre-orders, then this happens. It's because that allows them the ability to just say, we made the tier, so you guys get this thing. Because if they didn't make the tiers, that would mean that they're not selling pre-orders, and that would be bad. So it's just like a big, giant, fake marketing campaign to get people to pre-order their game. And, you know, however many they get, they're going to say, hey, we've unlocked the 4-day early release tier, which is the top tier. Yay, we did it. We sold so many copies of this game that you all did that. Aren't we all excited about our great game? That's marketing. It's the fucking just... What's the Bill Hicks joke? Hey, is anybody here from anybody here tonight in marketing? Yeah, go home and kill yourself.
Right. Yeah. That's...
No, seriously, go home and fucking kill yourself.
Oh, that's a good market. He's going for the anti-marketing market. No, fuck you. Kill yourself.
Kill yourself. God. It's like just when you think that shit can't get any more sketchy, it's just like, here you go. We've managed to make this worse.
Yeah. And I think Jeff made kind of a good point. It's like, just don't pre-order shit, because I mean that's ultimately the problem that's happening, is that, you know, these games people are pre-ordering the shit out of these games.
Yep.
And then they're broken and terrible, and then you still go out and pre-order the next one. It's like,
what kills me is people pre-order digital games. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, yeah, all right. In fairness,
I have a coworker
like
did that
preload.
With
maybe talk me into that, but.
Right, but there are some games that I'm just invested enough in the franchise that I'm gonna play. You know, like Arkham Knight is a good example of a game that I pre-ordered. I pre-ordered it on PS4, not the PC, but I pre-ordered because I know I'm gonna play that game, and it also came with a pretty rad copy of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that made sense. But yeah, for the most part, like, I didn't... Until Dawn is another game that I was really... really interested in, but I kind of waited until a couple of reviews came out that, you know, said, hey, we're kind of surprised at how good this is, you know?
Yeah. The only problem with, like, that game in particular is it's on the PSN network, which is notoriously fucking slow, so if you're...
Oh.
If you can't preload it, the download's gonna fucking take you half a day to get the game.
Alright, let me give you a quick tip here on how to improve your speeds on that. I mean, it's still not gonna be super fast, but I downloaded... 38 gigs, I think, is about what Until Dawn was, and it took 90 minutes, which isn't great, but it's way better than what you normally get.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, so here's your PSN pro tip. Go into your network settings and change the DNS to the public DNS, like 75.75.75.75 or 8.8.8.8. Don't use your own DNS. And I, as soon as I made that change, my speeds went up measurably.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the Shotcast, yeah, not only entertaining, informative, informative too.
And I'd like to inform everybody that Ground Zeroes is actually pretty boss, because I'm sitting in a machine gun and just mowing motherfuckers down.
Multitask.
Yeah.
There's other stuff Xbox on my news list here, but I don't necessarily think we need to talk about any more of this garbage.
No? All right.
I think we're good.
Okay.
Oh, well, no, sorry, one more. Justin, right. How do you feel about Star Citizen refunds?
It's about time.
Right. I think you're going to see like waves of that. At least, well, they did do the social module. That's out. Yeah. My internet, I hit my cap for downloading, so I'm not going to sit there and download 30 gigs worth of Star Citizen just to get in to like some little shopping center area.
But you can run around in there.
Oh yeah, you can run around. You can chat. You can type / dance, and you can dance like it's World of Warcraft.
Oh, God.
All right, I'm in.
I'm starting to think that I was already on this side of this argument already, but I am just not going to play Star Citizen until it comes out.
Right. It's
kinda, never coming out.
Yeah, that's the catch. It's kind of like DayZ at this point, even though every time they update DayZ, I end up playing it, which I did play like way too much of that this week, and I didn't mention that in my games I played. But I also got killed, like went up a ladder and on a server where no one was, and then all of a sudden it was just like, you were dead.
Yeah.
Like I've been playing it for 8 hours, and was you saw my screenshot, I was like super geared up, and then all of a sudden I just lose everything to like some kind of glitch.
There's no fucking zombies in DayZ yet. Like, come on. It's really hard for me to get into that game when there's no zombies to shoot in it. I mean, that was so much fun in the mod, and they're not even back to mod level yet. I don't know.
But Star Citizen, DayZ, I think I'm just going to hold off until they're at least at some corner, some kind of like 1.0. We're out of alpha. We're out of beta.
Yeah. So my thoughts on actual like refunds for Star Citizen is you're a bunch of fucking crybabies.
Yeah.
You bought in early access. Hunker down and wait for what you paid for, because if you didn't think this was going to take 4 years, you're a fucking idiot.
I mean, that's what they've told you from the get-go. I mean,
yeah.
I handed Bo money for when it was still a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You
know,
yep.
Been on this train for a while. And
yeah, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'll wait. It's fine. I got other games to play. I mean, I bought in because it was cheap. It was cheaper than, you know, it's going to be later. So, whatever. I'll wait. It's fine.
I have certainly blown way too much money in preparation for it by buying that Thrustmaster Warthog.
But you can use that for other games. It's not like that's just a single game. You know, peripheral, you know, like I bought an X52 Pro in anticipation to play that game, but I also play Elite Dangerous with it. I also play a Microsoft Flight Simulator with it. You know, I've got some World War II shit that I can do with that. And so
I use it in Arma.
Like, Arma bit. Yeah, I mean, I want a refund for your, because I'm not happy with the progress of your game that I want to play that's not done. I mean, I don't get it. It's like, just
those are just people who shouldn't pre-order.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you don't understand that that's what that's about, read the, it's not even the fine print, like it's written on the front page of that shit. In continuing, Star Citizen backers are a bunch of whiny little shitheads.
Yeah, but at a certain point too, I agree with you, but...
Yeah, I get it. Like, you want your game to come out and you're excited for it to work and you're not happy with what's there. I mean, if I was Chris Roberts, I would just stop releasing shit and just say, you're going to fucking wait now because you're pissing me off. And let everybody freak out and say, I want my fucking refund, and say, no, because you're going to get your game, so shut up. It's just... Ugh. Relax. There's other games to play. Go get some Metal Gear Solid 5. It's really fun. It's a complete done game.
That's what I hear. Yep. That is the metalist of all gears.
Hearthstone is free and you can waste hours on that game.
It's true.
Go do that. The moral of the story is just fucking relax. It'll happen. Or it won't.
All right.
And then sue them, you know?
I think that's the moral that we try to present for the show as a whole. It's just, hey, chill out, man.
Chill the fuck out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Come on, man.
Just be cool. Anything else news related?
I think that's a lot of news.
All right, fair enough. Let us turn our attention then to the world of listener questions. We got a pair of them this evening.
Nice.
All right, the first one comes from Matt Walsh, who asks us, what are your favorite old school franchises? To this day, I'm always up for any Castlevania title, although to my shame, I haven't played Lords of Shadow 2 yet. That question was totally legitimate until his confession, and now we must discount it. As far as old franchises go, I don't know.
Pac-Man.
Is that a franchise, though? I mean, that's a couple of games, I guess.
It's fucking phenomenal, man.
Tetris.
Oh, fuck.
Always a good one.
Some Tetris.
Sure.
I mean, obvious ones, like old school. Okay, you can do Mario Brothers.
Mario,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't go back to that very often. Like, I don't.
Is Metal Gear count?
God, this is a nightmare for me. This has become a Metal Gear cast. That's never what we wanted.
I mean, Sonic's in there, I guess, but I don't play those very,
Sonic.
Trying to think of something that's been around, like old school series that's still lit. Metroid, but I've never been a fan of the newer ones. Like, I never really got into them. Like, the original Metroid was, like, I must have played that game 10 times. It was fantastic, but I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah, I would say that the closest I come is maybe the EA PGA games.
Yeah. How old school is old school at this point? I mean, how far do you got to go back?
That's true.
Well, but I'm saying, you know, EA goes back to at least the Genesis PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So, and all through the Tiger Woods and stuff like that. Like, I haven't picked up this new, you know, Rory
McIlhenny. I hear that game's fucking terrible.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not, but if a game came out, a PGA game came out, and the word on the street was, this is fantastic, like, I'm kind of in the mood for a PGA game at this point.
We had a ton of, I mean, the online multiplayer in, like, Tiger Woods, was it, like, 09, maybe, 08, one of those was fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point where you didn't have to wait for the other players to tee off, you all just played simultaneously. That was super fucking fun because you could play 18 holes in like 20 minutes. It was great.
I'll tell you one, and this isn't like super old school, but Medal of Honor.
Oh, sure.
You know,
I honestly
miss those games.
Yeah.
And it's weird because they were terrible for a really long time.
Yes. That was like my first experience being in like a gaming clan as I was in a Medal of Honor Allied Assault gaming clan. And then the most recent ones are really good, I think, from a story perspective. I mean, they're not, the multiplayer was horrible in them, but the single player was awesome. And they had like real Navy SEALs come in and write missions for the game.
I kind of like the resurgence of adventure games.
Yeah.
Like, I was huge into the LucasArts games and King's Quest and all that shit. And I got huge into when Telltale started doing Walking Dead. That was super fun. And there's a new game out on Steam that looks really interesting called Stasis. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's like an isometric, people have kind of said if Aliens Isolation was an adventure game, kind of a top-down style, it's kind of got that vibe to it. Like, apparently the world is, and the story is kind of really fleshed out, and it's like a point and click. You have an avatar on the screen that you're viewing from an isometric view from above, and you click on the screen, and he walks around almost kind of, I don't want to say Diablo style, but there was another game that looks a little more like it, but, you know, you tell
like
him where
Pillars
to go.
Of Eternity, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you click, and your dude walks to where you clicked, but then you, like, click on a computer console, and he types stuff in, but then, like, when you're doing something, like, apparently, like, aliens burst out of the fucking wall, and it's got this, you know, real alien vibe to it, where there's, you know, blood splattered all over the wall, and you're rocket walking around in this space station that's, like, abandoned. It looks really cool. But the, just, yeah, that general resurgence in and, like, improvement of kind of the mechanics of the point-and-click adventure genre, because I used to just love that shit. And they've made it better, and it seems to still kind of have some traction. Like they,
if you threw a full-throttle sequel at me right now, I would get so excited.
With, well, like, modern conveniences thrown into it, and
yeah. Yeah, I would take my money.
Yeah. Like I really thought about picking up the Grim Fandango remake. And the only thing that kept me from playing it was I have very fond memories of the original, and I don't want, like, my nostalgia to get ruined by, like, seeing like, I went back and I played the newer version that they published a few years ago of Myst, where instead of it just being like a click and the next screen kind of displays, they actually rendered the whole thing out in like first person 3D where you were walking through the world. And it just kind of wasn't as awesome as I remembered it. Like it was, and I couldn't do that to Grim Fandango. I just love that game. So yeah, adventure games.
All right. Anybody else got anything to say about this before we move on? Nope. Matt Walsh, your question has been answered.
Asked and answered, sir.
So, I'd like a good goddamn Silent Hill game, but Konami doesn't give a fuck about video games anymore.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
They just made their swan song.
Yeah.
I am eagerly awaiting, however, the rage and tears when the Metal Gear Pachinko trailer comes out.
There's the Silent Hill one.
I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so Casey Bates asks us, whatever happened to the Burnout franchise?
That's a great
fucking question. Yeah.
I want that franchise back now that we have these fucking powerful ass consoles and cloud computing bullshit and all that nonsense.
I really like the open world of shit. Just lost the name.
Paradise.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. That was super fun. Like just race around and don't stop driving really fast and doing cool shit.
Yeah.
That was a really, really good game. I love the feature in it where when you were playing against other people, if you had the like the Xbox camera installed, it would take snapshots to your camera. And when we were playing with each other, like I would give the camera the finger, and then I would know it would be popping up on other people's screens. That was fucking great.
Yeah, Dylan always keeping it classy. I think actually Paradise might have been the problem. I think that was a really expensive game.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it sold super well. I think it did okay, but I'm not sure that it did well enough to continue the franchise.
And maybe, like, 3 was great just with the... because it had, like, that Need for Speed feel to it where it was just like, this is just a driving, kind of arcadey slant driving game. I really like that mode in that one where you just race down the road and smash as many fucking cars off the road as you could where it was
they're
racing against you, but it, what was it? Takedown mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's just
that was always super fun.
That actually Mad Max scratches that itch fucking hardcore.
That was sweet.
Just
looking forward to it.
Here's a whole bunch of other cars, smash all these motherfuckers until they're dead. It was great. So yeah, I think the world could fit another Burnout in if they did it right.
I'd love to have a next gen Burnout, like something that you had the graphical fidelity of something like a current Forza or something, only the damage modeling. I mean, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, especially if they had crash mode in it again.
They'd have to.
Yeah. I think, you know, let's just reboot Burnout Point of Impact. Yeah, I think that's a great game. I wish there were more Burnout games. I guess Criterion's doing Need for Speed now, right? Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you're still getting racing games from that studio.
Yeah.
You're just not getting all the crashy goodness that you want out of a Burnout game.
And somebody in that studio probably, if they're not working on it, probably brings that up in like every meeting. It's like, hey, we should start a new Burnout game, guys. Because, you know, money.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, somebody somewhere has to be running the numbers on that. And as soon as it seems like, oh, we can do it cheaply enough.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, maybe you can use the engine that you're using for Need for Speed and just insert the Burnout mechanics into that. That'd be all right.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, so point taken, Casey Bates. That would be great. I think we're all on board that, you know, yes, there haven't been Burnout games in a while, and there should be.
Go out and make it happen.
Yeah. Let us know when you finished your version of Burnout. And we'll
right back in when after you've downloaded Unity and coded that shit.
Yeah. Gentlemen, that brings us to the end of questions, and thus the end of the show. As always, thanks to everyone for listening to the Shotcast. We appreciate it, and drop us a line at sdfgaming@sdfgaming.com. You can also go to sdfgaming.com just for contact information. You know, iTunes, Facebook, Twitters, Instagram, Tinder. We're there.
Swipe right
yes. on Tinder for the Shotcast. Yes, and we'll wrap this up with a quick around the world. As I like to think of it.
Is this a sex thing?
Isn't everything?
It's always a sex thing.
So let's hear what everyone's excited about playing next. David J. Anders, what are you going to be playing?
Oh God! I will be playing Mad Max tonight. After I go get some food, I'm gonna got that bad boy installed before we started, and looking forward to playing it.
All right, Justin McFerrin.
Metal Gear Solid, and I'm gonna read, if I can plug a comic book, Godzilla in Hell. Number 2.
I've been following that quite a bit, and it seems real cool.
It's really good.
All right, Johnny Dolan, what are you playing?
I'm gonna play some Metal Gear and some Mad Max, pretty much exclusively, I believe. I am not gonna play Fallout Shelter anymore. All those people can fucking die.
And eventually will.
Yes, because I'm not feeding them anymore. Fuck them.
I will say,
bunch of moochers.
I'm more scared to even open Fallout Shelter to see what the hell has happened in the, like, 2 months that I haven't touched it.
What kind of hellscape has been created in your absence? It's just, it's basically a Morlock hole at this point.
Nice.
And I will be playing some more Until Dawn, and hopefully...
I want to see, are you going to do a video for that? I want to see some of that.
Yeah, if you go to actually the Twitch channel right now, you'll see the video. There's no commentary on that video right now, but you can see how that game looks and operates. And I will be adding some commentary to it shortly, and then we'll...
If you wanted to do a co-op quick look of that, I would be totally interested in watching that happen.
Okay. All right, let's plan on doing that then. Right. It'll probably be kind of post Labor Day.
Yeah.
Before
I mean, come on, it's like it's a long weekend. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
You should before that.
Yeah, no, I've already committed to a child's birthday party on Saturday.
Do they know you're coming?
Way to go.
Not yet. So I'm bringing.
You bring in some spider clowns.
No, but I am bringing some cigarettes and booze. I mean, the kids turn in 7.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's about time that they grew up, so.
Right.
And it's at a Chuck E. Cheese, so.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Well, at least
you don't know the existential horror of a Chuck E. Cheese until you go into one as an adult.
Do they still have some form of arcade games in there?
I don't
know.
Yeah. You're gonna run into like a Silent Scope or something?
No.
I'm kind of...
Yeah, Time Crisis.
A Frogger, maybe.
A little Pango.
There'll be...
A Crystal Castles or two.
A sadly neglected Galaga machine somewhere.
Right.
If you're lucky.
It's just gonna be me telling a bunch of kids who don't give a shit how great Dig Dug is. You gotta try it. You pump the thing and it blows up. 200 points, look at that. So, yeah, so my Labor Day is, you know, I feel like it's going to be Chuck E. Cheese and then just the come down from Chuck E. Cheese.
I want to hear, like, a pizza report, because I always remember that even, like, back when Chuck E. Cheese was awesome, the pizza was always just horseshit.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that pizza I'm going to be eating, in fairness.
I
you know, the big question mark over my head right now is, do they still serve beer?
I'm going to go with no.
Because I could see me getting real loaded and telling these kids a thing or two about how the world works.
Bring a flask.
And it's that's...
Like a big, like, El Presidente cigar, and just blaze that fucker up in the middle of Chuck E. Cheese.
Right, Cape Fear it up. You know, just every time Chuck E. Cheese rolls around, I'll just sit in the back of the table, just... Rah, 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 rah. Yeah, I think that's a given. That's, you know, my normal behavioral routine anyway.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Dave and Buster's recently, and it wasn't horrible, but man.
I was at a Chuck E. Cheese earlier this year for a friend's daughter's birthday. It was... There's a picture of me on Facebook looking terrified.
Chuck E. Cheese plate. All I can think is Five Nights at Freddy's going yes. into this situation.
That was more of a showbiz pizza thing, though, I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's a nightmare.
I'm real curious. I haven't set foot in a Chuck E. Cheese in easily, you know, 20-ish years, which is still a little too soon. Because if you do the math on that, I was in my 20s.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, well, you know. You know, one acquittal later, I swore the place off.
One really good attorney later.
Yeah.
The corporate restraining order for all locations of Chuck E. Cheese, it's finally passed.
Yeah, it's up now. Like, actually, as of Saturday, that's day one of my freedom to return to a Chuck E. Cheese, followed by another 20 years where I can no longer go.
They still have your picture up. I mean, they're never taking that down.
It's...
Beware.
Yeah. I mean... In fairness, the Chuck E. Cheese mask is largely based on my features anyway. Very rodent-like. That's all the contact information, obviously. You can call SDF Gaming.
Chuck E. Cheese, just call their corporate office, ask for Bo.
If you happen to be at the greater Nashville area Chuck E. Cheese this weekend, I'll be appearing.
You know, Bo, I might swing by.
High five, Bo, and then leave.
Yeah. I honestly, from what I understand, I will not be there very long. Largely because of the police, but also because of,
I want a body cam video of that from you, Justin. Just you walk in, Chuck E. Cheese, motherfucker. High five and walk out.
What I want you to do is run in, fire an actual live gun into the air.
One round into the air.
And then book.
All of this is possible. We've got everything we need to say.
Oh, I think that would really be a delight. I think the kids would enjoy it. Who likes loud noises and sudden violence more than children? All right, guys. We will return... In about 2 weeks, say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Tits.
God damn it.